So as followers of Jesus then, we're called then not just to proclaim the gospel, we are, but to do so in a way that honors Christ.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
As I said before, folks, we may have questions. We all have questions. Some of them are big questions, ultimate questions. Ultimate questions about life and the universe. Things like, why is there something rather than nothing? Why is the universe here? Why are we here, the human race? Why are you here, your lives? You have questions, concerns about your family. Questions about how can we know what is good, what is right, what is true? Is there such a thing as truth? What are we to make of all of the varieties of different opinions and perspectives about what's important in life and what is true? What are we to do with all of these questions? These are the big questions. But there may also, though, be some small questions, things we wouldn't put quite on that same level of concern. But nevertheless, they can vex us too. Questions like, I know for me, myself, for example, how is it that I always manage to pick the slowest moving line in the grocery store? Or is that just me? Anybody else? You know, you think, aha, there's the winner right there. Then the second you step into it, all of a sudden the cashier says, wait a minute, and puts the light on for somebody to come over because there's a problem with something. It never fails, right? So we may have questions, all kinds of questions. And starting next week, we're going to begin to look at some of those questions in this Explore God series. But what I wanted to do for today, let's just talk a little bit about questions and about how then should we prepare our hearts for that and for that series. So consider this then today an introduction to what we're going to start next week in Explore God, the purpose of which is for us to focus on our hearts and our heart attitude. So in this Explore God series, we're going to say, look, we all have questions, important questions. Whether life has a purpose, if God exists, if He does, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? And are Christians being arrogant and narrow-minded when they say that Jesus is the only way? And is Jesus really different from any other religious leader or guru? Is He really God? And can we trust this Bible that tells us about Jesus, about God, about life, why we're here, what's important? And can you know God? Can I know God personally? So this series is going to explore those questions and seek to give some answers and hope then for anyone who's willing to examine that and explore it with an open mind and an open heart. So for us as a church here, I'd like us to talk a little bit about that heart, that right heart attitude, that I know that these are questions that all of us as human beings wrestle with and should wrestle with. But as followers of Jesus, maybe we have wrestled with these. We have come to some place of answer or resolution on these things. But maybe there's a need for, we must admit, I think I need to be a little better prepared about how to address these with people who are searching and seeking for answers on this. So does life have a purpose? Is there a God? Why does God allow pain and suffering? Is Christianity, how would you answer that? If someone asked you that, how do you really know that Jesus is God? Is He really God? Can you trust the Bible? Can you know Him personally? Those are the questions. So we need to be prepared ourselves, not only in our minds, but prepared in our hearts as well. So for today then, I want us to consider then just some elements or components or parts of a good witness. Because I know some of us here are struggling with those questions, but I guarantee you many people out there are. And it's my hope and prayer that you are going to reach them out there with hope, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as followers of Jesus then, we're called then not just to proclaim the gospel, we are, but to do so in a way that honors Christ, in a way that honors His word. That is to proclaim this gospel humbly and lovingly and, yes, competently, to know how to address it well for people. So we're going to look today at 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. Before we look at that little context, this is written by the Apostle Peter. You remember Peter, he was one of the disciples of Jesus who had a great habit of speaking before he thought, right? Anybody here like that the words just come right out before you've really thought about what you're saying? Yep, I see a few hands. And you know what? I can verify that too, by the way. So he was that guy who acted before he thought, who spoke before he thought, but he was also one whom Jesus loved and whom Jesus knew would be a critical part of how he would build his church. Peter and the other disciples and the folks that they witnessed to, that they touched, how Jesus would work through them, through all of them, in building his church, that even the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Amen. So now here we are in the early days of the church. It's about 25, 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the church is under persecution, severe persecution. Men and women were dying for their faith in Jesus Christ because they refused to deny him. They honored Christ as Lord, Lord of their hearts, Lord of their lives, yes. But Jesus as God, he is the Lord. Jesus is Lord, not Caesar, Jesus. So some of them were paying for that with their lives. So he's writing to a church that is under intense persecution to give them words of encouragement, but also instruction in right living and holy living. So here is what he wanted to tell these people who were facing enormous opposition. You know, as the days go by, the church is the subject of greater opposition in America than it was before. But believe me, it's not like it was here in Peter's day, and certainly not like it is in many places around the world right now. But whatever the level of opposition, we need to be prepared to encounter it well. And be prepared to proclaim the gospel well, humbly, lovingly, competently. So Peter says to them and to us, 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8, he says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. I want to talk here then today just briefly about some elements of a good witness that we can pull from the text here today. Again, here was Peter addressing a severely persecuted church. Some of them had lost dear loved ones, family members, in persecution. They had been the objects of reviling and cursing, and some of them even had died. Now, I don't know about you, would you want to maybe get a little payback for some of that, for all of that reviling that's being tossed your way? For a family member, a loved one perhaps who's been taken away, imprisoned, or even killed for the faith? But he says, don't do that. Instead, do this. So I would suggest there's much instruction for us in this as well then. How then ought we to respond to opposition personally, for the church and the culture? Shouting back curses at those who curse you, who curse us, the church? Paying back evil for evil? No, I don't think that's the way. So what are some of the elements of a healthy church that we see here from the text? The first, I'd say this, is that an element of a good witness is a healthy, obedient church. You know, how can we have a good witness for the gospel if our churches are a mess? And you know what? Some churches are a mess, aren't they? I wish I could say that every local church was a bastion of love and unity and spiritual maturity. But I can't say that. And you know why? Because people like me are in the churches. That's why. All right? And people like, if we're going to be honest, people like all of us here, right? You know, there's a difference between being a healthy church and a perfect church. There are no perfect, I hate to disillusion some of you, and I don't think I am, you probably already know this. There are no perfect churches out there. And in fact, there's an old saying about that. If you finally find a perfect church, don't go there, because you will ruin it, right? So there are no perfect churches, but there are healthy churches. And what is a healthy church? Well, a healthy church is an obedient church. It's a church that is obedient to the Word of God. And what are some of those things that we're told to do? Well, unity of mind. Certainly doesn't mean that we all see things the same way, does it? I can tell you for a fact that's not true. I don't care how healthy a church is, we're not always going to see everything the same way. Agree perfectly. Unity of mind is not unanimity of opinion. Well, what is unity of mind? Well, it says that we are united together in spirit on the things that matter the most. That we agree together. Now, we do have to think the same way on certain critical elements of doctrine, don't we? Otherwise, you don't have a church. You don't have a God-honoring church that is upholding His Word. There are elements, critical elements of doctrine that, yeah, we do have to see the same way. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have questions about them or some doubts or struggle sometimes. We do. But if you don't uphold those, you don't have a biblical church. But you know what? There's a whole lot of things in which there's plenty of room for differences of opinion. And we love each other through those. So unity of mind means we're together on the stuff that really matters. And we're committed then to where we disagree to be agreeable in our disagreements. That's a unity of mind. There's sympathy, a genuine concern for those among us who are hurting. There were a lot of hurting people in that early days of the church there that Peter was writing to. You know what? There are hurting people here today too. So a healthy church has unity of mind, but it also is a sympathetic church that cares about what's going on in the lives of one another. And showing that care, not just in hey, I'll pray for you. Now that's good. We should pray for him. But really doing it. Coming alongside one another, showing practical support, and praying for one another. By the way, I think it's good. Someone challenged me with this a while ago, and I've kind of gotten into the habit of it. I think it's a good thing to do. Is, you know, when someone comes to you and they're telling you about, say, hey, can you pray for this or that? Don't just say, yes, I will, because I know you mean to, but then we go away, we get busy with things, and before we know it, we realize what? We forgot to do it. So when someone says to you, hey, can you pray for me about this and that? When should you do it? Right then. Pray right then. And you know what? Pray for it later too when the Lord brings it to your mind. But pray right then. Unity of mind, sympathy, and that's also brotherly love. That's an expression of love. We're a family. That's God's family love. A tender heart. You know, I think we've got a lot of angry hearts in our country right now, don't we? But God's people are called to have tender hearts and a humble mind. It's good to be well-educated. It's good to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures. But do you know what they call someone who is very, very well-educated and knowledgeable of the Scriptures but doesn't have a tender heart?
A Pharisee.
That's right. That's right. There are Pharisees today in the church, aren't there? A tender heart and a humble mind, humbly acknowledging our own limitations, our own weaknesses, our own sins. So a good witness then is, first of all, it's a healthy church. How can we witness to the world effectively if we're a mess ourselves? And our witness isn't, hey, come and be a part of us who are perfect over here. Because that's not true at all, is it? But it's what we are to be a refuge that people want to go to. And a church that's obedient to the Word of God is a refuge that a lot of people are going to want to go to. Because Christ is honored in their midst. So a healthy, obedient church. Blessing. Blessing upon those who revile. You know, rather than cursing back those who curse you, insulting those who insult you. You know, I know this is one of my little soapbox issues here, and I've said it before, I'll get on it again, and I promise to step down off the soapbox right away here then, okay? But here it goes. Folks, do yourself a favor and stay away from the comments sections on the internet, on the news, and things going on, and especially things that are faith-related, the church-related. I've seen some people who say they are followers of Jesus engage in some really nasty stuff in those comments. You think that honors the Lord? You think that makes someone say, you know what, I want to investigate this Christianity a little bit more so I can be like that guy? Right? Right. Friends like that, who needs enemies? Facebook friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Facebook, yes. The source of all evil in the modern world, I think, right? So, I know some of you love Facebook. Okay, I said I was going to get off the soapbox there. All right. I'm just saying, folks, let's exercise some wisdom, some discernment, and some tender-hearted Christ-like love in our online presence. In our offline presence, too. So rather than paying back insult with insults, reviling with reviling. It says rather what? Bless them. Now that word bless there is where we get our word eulogy. Now eulogy is what? At a funeral, a memorial service. It literally means a good word. Where someone will get up and speak a good word about the person who has passed. So we're said then that rather than to return insults with insults, rather we are to return a good word to them. Now you might wonder, how can I say something good about them? You know what? I think the overwhelming majority of people, you can, in all honesty, say good words about them, even those who revile and curse and insult. Speak well back to them. Speak a good word back to them. Speak well. Now, I'm not saying lie about them, but but you know what? Well, the proverb says what? A soft answer turns away wrath. Speak blessing back to them. Speak the blessing of God's love and truth back to them. And also pray. Pray for them. Jesus said what? For those who persecute you, pay them back in kind. Well, he said what? Pray for those who persecute you. Why? Because God is just, and that's a frightening thought. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. And then there is a zeal for doing good. Have a zeal for God and a zeal for love and a zeal for good works. Don't just endure evil, but rather actively work for good. Be known as a person and as a church that's doing good, that's shining light in the darkness, not adding more darkness to the dark. You know, I've told you this before. I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning, an upcoming message here, but I'll just say briefly now. There was a time in my life as a younger man when I was really struggling with some of these great questions, and one of them being the problem of suffering and evil in the world. And we rightly ought to struggle with that, okay? We need to struggle through that question. But there was a point then where, you know, that the issue here isn't just philosophical considerations. When it suddenly came to me, and I believe the Lord put this on my heart, okay, when saying, Dan, what are you going to do about the evil and the suffering in your world? See, it's one thing to ask the grand metaphysical philosophical questions. It's another thing to say, but what are you going to do about the evil and the suffering around you? Have a zeal for good. Another element of a good witness then is submission to Christ. To honor Christ as the Lord who is holy. As followers of Jesus, we're called to put who first? Our families? No, sorry. Some churches, you almost get that impression sometimes, okay? But guess, family doesn't come first. God does, right? But guess what? When we put God first, puts everything else in its right place in our lives. So we honor Christ first. He is the Lord, and He is holy. You know, earlier we see that Peter says to be holy as I am holy, the Lord says. So a good testimony or witness then is holiness. Holiness doesn't mean perfection. Well, actually, it does. Let me take that back. Holiness does mean perfection. But none of us are going to be perfectly holy right here, right now, are we? But we are called to grow in holiness. And the day is coming by the grace of God and as a gift of God when you and I will stand before Him perfect, perfectly holy in practice as well as in standing before Him through Christ. So holiness is a great witness and element. It's practical righteousness. And it also means when people see, and they will, that you're not perfect, that you're honest about it, and that you acknowledge, you know, that's why I have a Savior, Jesus. And that's why we all need a Savior. Right? Holiness. And this one, readiness. A readiness to answer questions. What do you believe? And why do you believe it? It's critical for us as followers of Jesus to say, being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean, well, I had this warm, fuzzy experience one day, and so now I like to come and get together with others who've had and sing about this warm, fuzzy experience I had. Now listen, I have no problem with practical experiences of God's touch in our lives and our hearts, okay? But we have to be prepared in our minds with the gospel message of what it is to clearly understand the essential doctrines of the faith and to be ready to explain those to people who ask and then to say, but why do you believe that? Now, we'll look at this a little more later on. But I want you to know this doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers because you don't and I don't either and none of us do. But it does mean we have to have an answer and to be able to, I think being prepared means being able to point people to resources when we don't know. And you know what? Being willing to tell people, I don't know, can actually be a good witness too. But here's who can help with this. You want to explore that question together with me? So what do you believe and why do you believe it? And when you do this, don't do this in an arrogant, overbearing way, but what? Do it with gentleness and respect. That's a right attitude to have in witnessing with people. Gentleness and respect, not overbearing arrogance. And then, too, there's the witness of our behavior. A good conscience, which comes from good behavior. A good conscience because we are zealous in pursuing holy character and good deeds. And when our conscience is clear and our behavior is aligned accordingly, that's a powerful witness. So to summarize all of this, let me just suggest again that when we proclaim the gospel, we need to do it humbly, lovingly, and competently to know what we're talking about. Competent. What do you believe and why do you believe it? Let me just tell you, I'm going to give you a sneak preview. You know, if someone asks me, why are you a follower of Jesus? Why do you believe why do you do what you do? Why do you believe all that? You know what, there's a lot of reasons. But you know what, I don't grow into some grand philosophical exploration of the meaning of life and the years. Now, if they want to go there, I'll go there, okay? But do you know why I believe ultimately? You know what it comes down to me? It's very simple. Because of the unique person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. That's why I believe. Simple. Now, I know it can get complex diving into that. But if you ask me for a reason for the hope in me, I'd say, well, because of the unique identity of the person of Jesus Christ. He's God. I want to listen to somebody who is God in the flesh, don't you? And he proved it, how? By rising from the dead. Period. So what? Followers of Jesus have a sacred task, I do, to humbly, lovingly, competently proclaim the gospel. So I say this today for us, to help us to prepare, to be prepared to give an answer. And it starts by loving Jesus. First, honoring him as Lord in your hearts. Honoring him as holy. Loving Jesus. Loving people. You know, when we are growing in love for people, we can't help but proclaim the gospel humbly and lovingly to them. Love Jesus. Love people. And then speak. Speak in the power of the Spirit. Trust yourself and trust him. Entrust yourself to him and to his power to speak through you. So next week when we start this series looking at this first question, does life have a purpose? As we explore these questions, I want us to remember that when we're answering people who have that question, let's do it with a right heart and a right spirit. It's a humble heart. It's a loving heart. And let's do it competently then. That series will help us to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the utterly unique one, the God-man, God in the flesh, the God who came into this world, took on human flesh for us, was made one of us, perfectly obeyed your law, your requirements, then took the judgment, the punishment for sin upon himself, achieved victory over it, over sin and death, and in dying then rose from the grave in order that we might follow him in his victory over death. So we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. May we humbly, lovingly, competently communicate the hope of the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.